Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 376. Today, Tim asks, I've heard you talk about obsession versus interest on an episode of the Roundtable podcast, I recall. You were workshopping someone's story idea, and he had a very ambitious project that would result in a series of books. Toward the end, you advised him that to complete it, he would need to stay interested in the story, not obsessed, because those are two very different states of working on a story. Specifically, you mentioned that if one is obsessed with something, they're fine just thinking about it, whereas interest motivates work because it drives one to figure things out. Could you explain how you maintain your interest rather than spiraling into non-productive obsession? I've got a lot of one and not much of the other right now. It's a good question, Tim. I'm trying to think how to answer this. I don't know if it's necessarily how I maintain interest versus obsession, as it is more how I learned to value one over the other. I noticed that the things I was obsessed with, and by that I don't necessarily mean research things, but things that I wanted to do that I was obsessed with, were a constant source of frustration and ennui to me, where the things I was interested enough in to treat them as problems to be able to be solved, but not obsessed with the fantasy of them. Those things became a significant source of satisfaction in my life, and it occurred to me at some point, I don't remember exactly when, but it occurred to me at some point that if I could start treating these things I was obsessed with as if these were real possibilities and break them down into problems that needed solving and treated them like I would treat anything that I was interested in and serious about getting done, then that would move them from one space to another, and they would stop being sources of dissatisfaction and ennui and irritation in my life, and they would start to be sources of satisfaction and growth and excellence. And so that's what I started to do. I started to look at the things I was spending mental time on but not doing anything about, and I started to break them down into little problems, bite-sized chunks that I could deal with. Say I was obsessed with filmmaking, and oh boy was I obsessed with filmmaking. Back in the late 90s, I was spending 100 hours a week easily on independent filmmaker forums and reading books about independent filmmaking and watching indie films, you know, little short films, going to festivals, everything like that. And I was remarkably not making any movies. Well, I wasn't making any movies because, oh, it was out of my reach. It was too expensive. This is back when everyone was shooting on film and it actually cost money. And when video editing software was hundreds and thousands of dollars for something like Microsoft Movie Maker or Apple's iMovie, it didn't seem possible, but I could not get it out of my head. And so that was actually the first thing that I went and broke down. Writing was actually much more difficult for me at that point, writing with any eye towards publication or seriousness. It was too much of an obsession. It was what I dreamed about since I was a kid, and yeah, I wrote. But I didn't write anything with an eye towards being professional, and so quite a lot of what I wrote was crap. Most of it was poetry. Oddly, a lot of the poetry wasn't too bad because I actually practiced that because it felt doable. Whereas the fiction, I would just write when I couldn't bear not to write, and so I didn't learn anything from one iteration to the next. But I realized that I was sort of flushing my life away down this indie filmmaking hole, and I needed to either let go of the obsession or find a way to make it a solvable problem. And so I started treating it like a solvable problem. I said, well, let's say I want to be the next Stanley Kubrick. And I did. Kubrick was always my idol in matters filmmaking related. Say I want to be the next Stanley Kubrick. What do I need to do tomorrow or this year in order to move myself measurably closer to that goal by the end of this year than I was at the beginning of this year? Well, obviously, the answer is make a short film. Well, I don't have any friends who are actors. I don't have any equipment. Well, what's the cheapest way I can do it? Well, at the time, I was in need of a video card upgrade on my computer anyway. I've always built my computers piecemeal, so I was just around to the video card in the upgrade cycle. I said, well, what if I get a video capture card that can capture video from a VHS camcorder? My friend has a VHS camcorder. Maybe he'll let me borrow it. I'll make a short film. I'll capture it into the computer and I can figure out a way to edit it there. And wouldn't you know it, the video capture card came with video editing software. Very rudimentary, single-track stuff, but it worked. Well, then I needed a subject, and I had to write a script, and I didn't know anyone who could act, but I did have a couple of friends that I did a whole bunch of martial arts with, and we were deeply into two things, martial arts and Star Wars video games. And so we decided to make a Star Wars fan film set inside a video game world, and we basically use our martial arts experience, meager though it was, to make us look not quite entirely like idiots. And at that point I had a project, and I started breaking the project down, and it became a thing, and it's now a film, which is thankfully not available any longer on the internet, but I do have a DVD of it on my shelf, and I watch it from time to time for old time's sake. And that was the first of about a dozen short films I was involved in one way or another. And then the next year we tried to do a feature film. Did the same process, actually got it all shot, turned out not to be any good. It didn't wind up getting finished. I got the whole thing rough cut, looked at it and said, yeah, I'm not going to spend the time to put special effects into this because that would have been quite expensive and not a good use of money. But that's how you do it. You take something you're obsessed with and you start breaking it down into small solvable problems or small deal-withable projects. And in doing that, you habituate yourself to the fact that this is a normal part of life rather than a unattainable goal that's only worth fantasizing about. My advice then would be to find an analogous way to do that when it comes to you and the story you're trying to write right now. I bet you can do it. Start off with a short story. Start off with telling a story in that story world that you're comfortable with telling. And don't make it a big thing, but what you want to do is you want to normalize it for yourself. And once you can normalize it, it becomes an everyday thing and completely doable. Thanks very much for the question. And I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.